Welcome to this Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. Listen to the full 3-hour morning show Sundays starting at 8 on Mix 106.5.
Good morning. It is Sunday, August 23rd, 2026. I'm Shaw Gage on Sunday morning. Rob Jennin in the house with us from Young Business Leaders, YBL. Rob, thanks for coming in this morning.
Man, I'm glad to be here with you, Shaw.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're just always looking to have people in that are just, man, making a difference for the Lord out there, whether it be through ministry or the workplace or at their home. And, man, just trying to pour into people and let them know, hey, whatever they're going through, it's going to be all right and that Jesus loves them. And, man, you're one of those guys. I know we just met. We're going to talk about that as we get into the show. But we just met in the last several months and just through ministry, right, through an opportunity that we'll, again, get into in here in just a few minutes. But, man, just appreciate what your organization's all about and just, you know, leading people to the Lord and trying to create disciples, right?
That's right. Yeah, we want to make sure that people realize that their faith is not just for Sunday morning, but that it's every day of the week and that they can really live and walk with Jesus in the marketplace.
Man, that's so awesome. It's really, you guys do that because I was actually, that's how I found you guys or y'all found me or however you want to say it. But one of my former students was at his office and they have a weekly Bible study and asked me to come be a part of that. And you and I connected. So just really cool. And we'll unpack all that, but so excited to have Rob Jennin in this morning with YBL. And if you don't know anything about it, check them out and Google it. Everybody's got a phone or a computer, but we're going to talk about it this morning and learn more about what these guys are doing out there to impact our world and make a difference for Jesus. So look forward to hanging out with you. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Rob Jennin at YBL. Shaw Gage, Sunday morning, back with you. So pleased to have Rob Jennin in with us from Young Business Leaders out of Birmingham. And Rob, just, man, we're going to get into YBL and what all you guys are doing and the cool stuff and how we connected. But just starting out, just want to share, give a little insight to the listeners. Man, you got a great story about how you got here. And man, we'd just love for you to share a little bit of that, if you don't mind.
Well, it's my pleasure. Shaw, I was born on the West Coast. I was born in Kirkland, where all your Costco stuff comes from.
Okay.
And so my dad was a Boeing subsidiary, worked for them, and he got a job transfer when I was 6 years old. We moved to Southern California. I grew up as a Southern California kid, so I am from the South, but a little bit different. And I went public school most of my life. Until I went to college, I went to Biola University, which is similar to maybe like a Mississippi College or a Samford.
Okay.
You know, Christian 4-year school. I got a business degree from Biola, ran cross country briefly there. And then I moved out after working for 4 years. I moved across the country to Orlando to get my pastor's degree at RTS. And I worked a bunch of odd jobs there. That's a whole different story. But, then when I finished, I was looking to learn from a church, moved to Montgomery, Alabama, worked with Eastwood Presbyterian Church in Montgomery, Alabama for a number of years as a teacher. And then I went back into business and just kind of working through some things. Door opened to come work with YBL 11 years ago. And so I came up to Birmingham 11 years ago, been working with YBL now. Became the executive director about 4 years ago. So it's been a great journey up to Birmingham.
Man, that's awesome. And I don't think I knew the teaching part. What did you teach? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I taught Bible, 7th grade through 11th grade. Man. Maybe the biggest challenge with that is just, you know, the difference between a 7th grader and an 11th grader. It's really a spectrum of how you have to teach and engage with the kids.
Oh, yeah, 100%, because I taught too, and man, my third year of teaching, they asked me to teach Bible. And I was like, I'm not qualified. They go, what you've been through with your whole cancer journey, yeah, you're definitely qualified. We just want the kids to see. But man, my favorite was 6th grade Bible. And people, you're crazy. How do you put up with that? I'm like, maybe I just never grew up myself, but I just love that age because it's so fun.
I agree. 7th grade was one of my favorites because they would still play with you.
Right.
There's something about 8th grade, 9th grade, like you become acutely aware of other people,
mm-hmm.
and that social anxiety that like everyone's looking at me.
Yeah.
It can steal their joy for a couple of years. And then they kind of emerge out of it as more formed adults by like 10th and 11th grade.
Yeah. Yeah. So I agree with that 100%. One thing I would always tell people when they go sixth grade, I was like, yeah, because they're old enough that you don't have to walk them to the bathroom, but yeah, they're still young enough. You're still kind of cool as that coach and teacher and you know, that influence in their life. And there's, like you said, they're still going to approach you, right? You're not, and because when you get to that too cool stage, eighth, ninth, 10th grade, it's like, ah, man, I'm too cool to talk to anybody, you know? So.
Yeah. You know, that's one of those things. I always try to come home with like a dad joke or something for my kids. And, so this last week I heard one and, it was actually one of our teachers at Briarwood School. He came into the class and was back to school night and he's like, hey, is this eighth period? And like, no, it's seventh period. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I've just been so distracted. My brother's in the hospital. Like everybody's really genuinely worried. And like, what's wrong? And he said, oh, well, he drank an entire bottle of invisible ink and he's waiting to be seen.
That's pretty good. There you go. I like that. I'm going to use that one tonight when I get home. So that's funny. That's good. And you know, those kids love those jokes at that age. Dad jokes are still pretty fun at that age, right? You know?
Absolutely.
So, and look, what you guys are doing with YBL, and we're going to, as the show unfolds here, we're going to talk more, let you guys into what Rob and this group are doing. But we're all just big kids, right? And that's one thing that I know when I came back into sales, leaving teaching, man, I was missing like a year and a half into the sales career. I was like, man, I was missing my kids. I was missing that impact. I was missing those light bulbs going off. And I was just praying, riding down the road. And I said, Lord, did I miss it? Like, was this a selfish decision to get back? I mean, we had one in college and two getting ready to go to college. So we just on a teacher salary really couldn't. So I was like, Lord, was this a selfish, materialistic decision to get back in sales? Because I just don't feel like I'm impacting your kids anymore. Mm. Man, the Holy Spirit just whispered into my heart and said, oh, you're still impacting my kids. They're just older and grayer, a little bit heavier, you know? And so.
Well, and what you just said there is so important because I talk to people a lot in the work that we do that when they really start wanting to follow the Lord and have a relationship with God, one of the impulses is maybe I should become a pastor mm-hmm. or I should become a missionary somewhere. And I would say, hey, if the Lord's telling you to do that, by all means, you should. But don't ever for a minute think that you can't follow God and represent him and make disciples in the marketplace doing a normal 9-to-5 job, that you have influence with people. And in fact, in some ways, you have more influence with people because you're already meeting normal human needs through the job that you serve. And if you do that as unto the Lord, you really have an open door to share all kinds of hope with people who would maybe never come to church.
Right. Yeah, and 5 days. You got 5 days. Pastor's got an hour or maybe 2 hours on Sunday mornings or Sunday, depending on how often you go. But to your point, when we're ministers in the workplace, man, you got 5 days to impact people. And it's that consistent, not beating people up or preaching at them, but just that, man, just that support and just being their encouragement, right? And just coming alongside people and doing life together. So super cool, man.
Absolutely.
All right, well, cool. Hey, we're going to step away for just a few seconds, come back with Rob Jennon on the other side on Sunday morning. Rob, we were just talking kind of in between segments and, you know, just talking about how important it is to have people pouring into you, you know, and we talked about that at the panel back in August, but or earlier this month. Gosh, it's still August. Yeah. But just about, and this hit me, but like one of the other guys on the panel was saying, we should always be, you know, trying to pour into other people, but we also got to make sure we have people pouring into us. And so that funnel doesn't get emptied out. And man, it convicted me as I'm up there with the panel, you know, talking. And I'm like, man, I don't really have a whole lot of people pouring into me. So number one, thank you for that. But we're also talking, you were talking about formative influences in your life. Like as all this stuff was happening, you're coming from California to Orlando and probably some culture shock, but just there was a constant thread woven through your story, through these formative influences. And so if you wouldn't mind, would you share some of that, like kind of how all that came to be?
Sure. Yeah, I was grown, raised Catholic, and we went to church every Saturday, but it was kind of a check-the-box sort of thing. And my family, I had four brothers and sisters. was the youngest. And my family just kind of disintegrated when I was 9 years old. My parents got a divorce after 21 years. And you'd think, like, hey, at 21 years, you're like, you've made it.
Right.
You know, it kind of blew me away. But there's a sense of, like, now I know that that's not the case, that a lot of times in people's 40s and early 50s, that can be a crisis point in marriages. But but when all that happened, I kind of was left really spiraling. You know, we were a Catholic religious family. I thought I was basically a good person. But God started to kind of pick off each one of our family members one at a time. First, my brother became a Christian through his best friend. And then my sister became a Christian. Then her boyfriend shared Christ with me just through the simple questions that I now recognize as like the EE questions,
oh,
evangelism
yeah.
explosion. He just stopped me one day, I'm 12 years old, and he said, Rob, if you were to die tonight and to stand before God in heaven, and God said, why should I let you into heaven? Well, what would you say? And my answer was, well, number one, I'm a Catholic.
Right.
You know, that's supposed to be the linchpin, but he didn't seem that impressed. And so I'm like, well, all right, what else have I got? I go to church most weeks. I pray sometimes, pray the rosary, never killed anybody.
Right.
Never stolen anything. I realized that wasn't entirely true. I never stole anything really big.
Right.
You know, organized crime, none of that.
Right.
And he just wasn't impressed. And so I finally said, well, all right, if these are not the answer, what's the answer? And he said, Rob, you don't understand. A relationship with God isn't something you can earn or deserve. It's a gift. And as he explained that, it's like all those times in Catholic church or school, CCD, they called it, you know, after school training, I realized why Jesus had to come. He had to come to do something that I could never do on my own. It wasn't just that I was 60% good enough and he filled in the 40% gap. Mm. It was that I was 0% good and that he did it all for me.
Mm.
And so that was when I became a Christian, committed my life to Christ, and God saved every member of my family.
Wow.
And over time, he gave me a family even of other people outside my family who poured into me, youth pastors, one of my dear friends, even after I graduated college, my friend Mike Dempsey, he was a 29-year veteran in the LA Fire Department, poured into me and mentored me as a young man. And I just started seeing, man, this is like God gave me a family back for maybe some of the time I lost with my own family. And I started feeling really passionate, like, God, I want to do this for others. And when I started having all these different business experiences, you know, I got a business degree, I worked in a number of fields. I met people along the way who did that for me. And so when I then found out that something called Young Business Leaders existed, where I could potentially help equip other people in the marketplace to be that for each other, I jumped at the chance.
Man, that's so cool. Cause that's that aha moment, right? Where you were like, okay, God's bigger than this. And yes, my immediate family may be kind of dispersed right now or spread out a little bit through the divorce and through just growing up, but God gave you that back. And I can just see that in your countenance, like right now, like how, like, I just feel like that's maybe when the switch flipped for you and just going, okay, I think I know what I want to do here.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's like, I knew at first, like, I like business. I love the energy of the marketplace. But then I felt really burdened. And the reason why I pursued pastoral ministry is, man, there are moments of immense significance in our life when, you know, birth happens or, you know, first events in a child's life or a sickness hits and your life changes and, you know, weddings and death. And I'm like, who's there at those moments? Well, pastors get invited into those moments to share a word from God, from his word, and to give perspective on what those moments mean. So that's why I got the pastor's degree. So I'm a pastor on one hand, but I love the marketplace. I really didn't think those two things would ever connect. you know, and I had kind of this interweaving path where for a period of time I had to go back into the marketplace just financially to kind of clear some things up. Made a brilliant investment on a house in 2006, right at the height of the market, and that led to some adventure. But those two things together, I didn't at that time see how they were going to connect. And then I found out that there was a ministry to businessmen, and it made sense to me that, like, well, God isn't just the God of Sunday mornings. He's the God of every day. And there are literally millions of people going to work who feel like they're doing something different on Monday through Friday than what they're doing on Sunday when they go to church. And my goal is to be useful in whatever way I can to help break down that mental barrier that people have, because God is always with us and His word is always true, even in the most difficult and stressful situations that we face. And a lot of those are in our work environments.
Yeah. And we wait till Sunday typically to unload those burdens or whatever it may be. But you hit on that. That's so right on. We got to live the same Sunday to Sunday. I mean, Monday through Sunday, every day of the week, because hey, it's just, it's being real. It's being genuine in who you are. But man, God never takes time off. God knows. I remember my mom and dad used to tell me, my mom in particular used to say that one. She said, you can lie to me, but God knows. God's always watching and He always knows. And that is, you know, 52 years in, it still sticks with me. And yeah, I mess up and I do things I probably shouldn't do from time to time, but I always hear that voice in my head. God's watching, you know? And, but we have an amazing opportunity to impact the people around us. And we were talking about that a little bit earlier, about just each and every day, right? We're ministers wherever we go. So I think it's so cool how God brought those two worlds together that you thought could never marry, but yet He brought them together and it has you where you are right now. And look, that's the encouragement we want to share this morning is, man, if you're hearing us right now and you're like, man, I don't know what's happening. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know why I'm doing this job or why I'm in this situation. Man, just lean into the Lord and just trust Him and just keep praying and keep reading His word and keep surrounding yourself with other, formative influences that can help build each other up. And so when things happen, hard things, good things, you've got a good foundation around you. And man, we're gonna take a pause real quick and come back on the other side. We're going to talk about now what that does with YBL and what that's all about and how you guys are impacting the world around Birmingham and the surrounding area. Be back in just a few minutes on Sunday morning. Rob Jennin, YBL, Young Business Leaders, hanging out with us morning. Rob, thanks again for coming in and spending some of your valuable time with us. And man, just loved getting to know you and hearing your story. And you know, you've talked about some formative influences, but man, there's one in particular that's really your formative influences, and I'd just like to hear a little bit more about your wife and your beautiful family.
Well, thank you. Yeah, my wife, Carla, grew up here in the South and graduated from Auburn. And
War Eagle.
Grew up in a small town, and she's my interpreter for all things Southern. She's the reason that I've been able to handle Southern subtlety for the last 19, 20 years.
I love it.
And God blessed us with two boys. It was a journey. You know, we married a little bit later, and then when we started trying to have kids, we found we couldn't have kids. And then we lost a couple of babies early in pregnancy, and that's a whole community that you kind of find out exists after it happens, because nobody talks about it really, just casually. And that was a deep moment of growth for us as a married couple. I had to really learn to listen to my wife's heart, and I'm just so thankful that even though I would never have asked for that, that God really drew us together much more closely through that journey. And then, you know, amazing, crazy thing, like we found out that we had a miscarriage on December 23rd, and it was a terrible day. My wife got in a car accident coming back from the hospital, hearing that she is about to have a miscarriage. And the crazy thing about that is 1 year to the day later, we found out we were pregnant with our first son, Noah. And God did something similar. My mom died on February 5th, 2 years later. It was actually a year later. And then the year after that, my wife had another miscarriage, and that was February 5th. So it's like a dark day on the calendar. And then a year after that, my son Matthew was born on February 5th.
Are you kidding?
And so, you know, it's just proof that God takes these difficult moments in our lives and even those dark days on the calendar that maybe we fear a little bit. And he works amazing things through them. And I got to see that, you know, just written on my calendar in terms of every year. I just see how the mingled suffering and sorrow we experience is also woven in together with God's joy and grace.
That's powerful.
So that's my family. I got two boys now are starting junior high and high school this year. It goes fast.
Man, it really does. And enjoy the madness. Enjoy that. I tell everybody that's got high school and below, because there's days you want to pull your hair out. There's days you want to scream, you know, because teenagers are just, they're teenagers, right? We've all been them, you know, and we grow out of it mostly. But man, when they get older, I've got my oldest son, Ian, just turned 30. And then we've got a 24, Sam turned 24 this week, and our youngest is 22. And man, the house is quiet. And it's like, man, I love a little madness. You know, I joking with Janet last night, I was like, can we go to a Friday night football game? She's like, no, I don't. I want to go be around young people in football, you know, so with all that cranking up. But no, that's cool, man. And I really appreciate you sharing that because, you know, people listening out there, you know, there is a community out there of people that have been through those hard events with losing children through miscarriages. And, you know, I've been asked that question from people and say, man, why, you know, and that's just a hard one because there is no why. But I think what we have to look for is those silver linings and that, you know, God to the day, like you had, you know, sons born on those days. And it's just like, man, that's a good reminder, you know, of God's provision and God's love for us because bad things are going to happen. And you know, some people, you know, like people that are not Christians or people that are baby Christians that may not know, like, man, you give your life to the Lord and say, man, I'm going to get in church, I'm going to get in the Word, and I'm committing my life to the Lord. And you think sometimes it's just going to be this easy life is, you know, Skittles and rainbows and all that. But it's not. But what it does is it gives you that net. It gives you that support system. As we were talking about earlier, that yoke, you know, it gives you that drawing closer to him and that foundation because when life happens, man, if you don't have that faith, if you don't have that trust, if you don't have that support, I understand why people freak out. And so I appreciate you sharing that because that's a lot of what this is each and every week is just coming on and man, whatever you've been through, just pick yourself up as best you can and just put another foot forward and another foot forward and just keep on going because God will turn it around if you're going through something dark. Am I right?
Amen.
Yeah.
That's a good word.
Right on, right on. Well, so appreciative of that part of your story because I'm sure that, you know, as obviously every bit as instrumental of any of these other influences you've had in your life has brought you where you are today and has made you the man that you are and just that heart for pouring in other people because you've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. Going to take a quick break, but we're going to come back and talk about YBL and exactly what these guys are doing to grow the ministry and be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Happy Sunday, everybody. Rob, it's been great having you in this morning and just kind of, man, it's been great getting to know you and your story and how cool it is, a young guy from Washington that moved to Southern California, ended up in Orlando, and now you're in Birmingham, Alabama. And, man, love your story, love the history, and hearing about your family. And it's so cool because, you know, we go through life, and all those experiences, good, bad, or indifferent, man, they just build us and shape us and mold us into who we are. And you're pretty conscious of that. And it's cool to be able to watch you reflect back and see what God's been doing in your life. And, man, it's brought you all the way to this point with YBL. We've been hitting about this and dropping YBL. It stands for Young Business Leaders. And it's a phenomenal ministry that I tapped into a couple of months ago through one of my former students, Sam Johnson, but through one of the small groups that you guys, I guess, help sponsor. But man, we just want to know more about YBL and Young Business Leaders, what you guys are doing, and man, what an impact it's having in our community.
Well, thank you. Yeah, YBL has been a ministry for 45 years now. Started in 1981, so this will be our 46th year. And just thinking about really the heartbeat of what YBL is, I've kind of already hinted at, is equipping men and now women through our women's business leaders to live out their faith at work. and to bring, as one of my friends says, their whole self to work, and to recognize that that is really maybe the most crucial place to live out your faith is in those hardest moments, those most difficult moments, to find that God is faithful and He is there for you at the times when it's hardest. If your faith is only for when things are comfortable, it may not be real faith. And so YBL as an organization structurally was started by guys who were coming out of college and they had seen major impacts of Jesus connecting with college students and people giving their lives to Christ and how that was transforming their whole perspective. And they said, hey, is there a way we could do this in the marketplace? And so it was started by lay people and by young men who were an average of, you know, 26 years old, I think, at the start. And so that's where the name Young Business Leaders came from, is it was a bunch of young business leaders who actually started the organization. It wasn't a pastor. And so for the last 45 years, they've been doing this. And the basic structure of YBL is we hold outreach events that make it possible for people to come and kind of find out what the ministry is. We'll typically have a businessman or a sports star or somebody like that who has an interesting story, a little bit of a hook that would draw somebody to come and hear their story. And then we always challenge our speakers, show them how your story is inseparable from your relationship with God. And that testimony is maybe the least offensive way a person can share the impact of the gospel and recommend the gospel to others. And so that's typically what we do with our events is they're invitational opportunities. They bring our whole community together. They also give an opportunity for the gospel. And then they give an opportunity for people to really get enmeshed in the heartbeat of what YBL is, which is small group discipleship throughout the city. And it's not owned by any one church, even though we were started by Briarwood Church and we are so thankful for their support. This is an interdenominational, interchurch effort to reach the marketplace for Jesus. And so we have our small groups usually in conference rooms and offices, and that sanctifies the spaces where they're located, I think, that people come in and they see men meeting early in the morning or women meeting for prayer and Bible study, and that creates curiosity in the offices, and it spreads that way. But also, if you happen to be a Baptist and somebody else is a Presbyterian or a Methodist, you can all be in the same Bible study, and you can be learning about God together. And so it really brings people together and even helps bring our churches together, which is one of the things that I've been really grateful for the ministry of YBL. And so from there, we try to help men grow in their leadership of small groups so that they can then in turn train others up so that they will become leaders. And we do that with the small groups, and we also do one-on-one mentoring on a case-by-case basis. A guy needs to talk through some issues that are happening in his life. Maybe he's a Christian, maybe he's not, but he's working through something, and that felt need is really drawing him. And so we love having mature businessmen who can then speak into those challenges and how they have processed their faith in Christ through those, whether they're business challenges or family or personal, that all of those issues properly belong to God. And so that's the basic structure of our ministry is events that draw people in and then discipleship through small groups and through one-on-one mentoring.
Man, that's fantastic because, you know, man, I feel like for that, maybe it's just my age, but I feel like up until really COVID, we were talking about this a little earlier with Michael outside, but I think when COVID happened, I think it just, man, it changed a lot. It changed our world in a lot of different ways, some good, some bad. But I think in the good sense, what it did, and I'll just personal experience how I found out about you guys was one of my former students, Sam Johnson, is working for retail specialist down in Birmingham. And Sam was from Franklin, Tennessee. I taught him, coached him up there. And then he came to Samford after, about the time I was moving down here, coming to work at Nexair. And we started staying in touch, and he was at Samford, and I'd go take him to lunch, you know, make sure he was not going hungry, you know, as a college student in Samford. And we just, you know, go to get a barbecue or a pizza or whatever, and just fellowship. And he met his wife there, and, you know, now they're about to have their first child, I think in October. But he reached out to me a few months ago. He's like, "Hey, coach, do this little Bible study at work. Would you mind coming and sharing your testimony?" I was like, "Man, I'd love to." And I went, and man, there was like 30 guys in there. And I was like, "How often do y'all do this?" And it was like every week. And I was like, "Well, how did this start?" And one of the owners up there was like, "Man, when COVID hit, man, we had to do something because there was just so much angst and so much uncertainty. And like, what are we doing?" And so he said, "Yeah, bring it on." And so they started, I guess, doing what you call it, a chapter or a division.
Yeah, they had a YBL small group.
A small group at their office. And every Thursday, not like once a month, but every single Thursday, they sit down and break bread together and they talk through. They may have a lesson that week. They may have a guest speaker. And so I was so honored to be able to go on. And it, man, I felt like I was in front of a locker room again. So it was really fun because Sam was out there and I'm used to that, you know. So, but I just saw that heart. And then you and I connected shortly thereafter about doing this panel back in earlier this month. And I thank you for that opportunity to get up with the other two gentlemen and just kind of share our hearts and where we are. Because exactly what you're saying is it's just, man, trying to pour into other men and in the women's side, I guess, as well. But just letting them know, hey, man, it's okay. Life can be hard, but make sure you have that supporting structure around you and those other men and people in your life that can lift you up. And then also that can lift you up and you lift them up. So it just kind of goes both ways, right? Because it's always seems like, man, it's just always the right person at the right time. And
yeah, that's really important too, is so many times for a mentor, like your next step of growth is actually comes through investing in someone else.
Right.
That you learn while you teach.
Yeah, so true. You know, so many times, and you know, being a teacher, I think back to those sixth grade Bible classes, and I go, man, I thought I was going to teach these kids so much, but man, I walked away so much more blessed. I feel like now on this side going, man, I learned more probably than they did. And I was the teacher. So that's a great point. Great point. But being the hands and feet of Jesus and just pouring into men and just that discipleship, man, that is what Jesus taught. And so I applaud everything you guys are doing. And we're going to step aside for just a quick second, come back, and we're going to talk about the next event coming up on September the 11th at the Harbert Center downtown Birmingham. Mr. Alton Hardy. Is it Reverend? Or he's a Reverend.
Yeah, he is a Reverend.
I'm sorry. Reverend Alton Hardy is going to be the guest speaker. So if you want to know more about it, check it out. Get on the website. What's our website again? I think I gave the email earlier.
That's right. It's ybl.org.
Well, easy. So if you've got, you know, just a few keys on your keyboard, you can probably find that ybl.org.
That's right.
And that's your website. So you can check it out. See about Ms. Reverend Alton Hardy. Going to be, he's with Manifold Vision. He's written a book or two, I think, as well. But, man, he's supposedly, I haven't heard him, but it's going to be a great, great talk. And he's going to be downtown on September the 11th. But we're going to talk about that a little bit more and kind of what these meetings and conversations are all about here on the other side on Sunday morning. Rob, you know, we were talking just a second ago about scripture and foundations and right. We, you know, different groups have different mission statements, and but everything with you guys is Bible based. And I know there's a particular verse out there that you wanted to share with the audience that really brings all this together and weaves this whole program together with what YBL is doing. Would you mind sharing that with us?
Yeah, absolutely. 2 Timothy 2:2 is kind of the theme verse of YBL, and it's just a classic discipleship verse, but Paul's talking to his young protege, Timothy, whom he's discipled, and he says to Timothy, he says, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will in turn teach others." And I love how you see generations of discipleship there as Paul teaches Timothy. Timothy is to teach faithful men, and those faithful men are to in turn teach others. And that's really how I believe our faith is transmitted, is through those life-on-life relationships. And that's why we're committed to what we're doing at YBL in small groups and mentoring relationships, is because people hear the message of the gospel oftentimes through a church or a big setting, but they learn how to live it out through those one-on-one relationships. And we were talking earlier about Sam, and I just thought that's so cool that you got connected with Sam. Sam was a part of our YBL professional primer group, which we teach to college students. And, you know, he's a remarkable young man then. And he landed there at the company that he's at now. And another young man in that same group grew up in tiny little Winfield, Alabama. His name's John. And he joined one of our YBL small groups right before COVID. And he went to school, finished at UAB, and then got a job at that company. And so he went from like coming to Christ while he was at UAB through a small group, and then maturing in Christ to where he got a full-time job and now is one of the leaders of that small group, which is like 20 guys at that company. And it's just so cool to see what God is doing that, you know, again, a young man who started out maybe as the protege is now becoming the mentor in the life of another man.
Wow. That's powerful because, you know, that's exactly how, I mean, I'm with you. I think that's the way it works. I was a friend of mine. We were leading our sons in a high school Bible study, the Briarwood guys. We had about six or seven guys that met on a pretty regular basis. So I think we were doing it on Monday nights when they were in high school. And, you know, I remember talking to my friend. I was like, man, come on, we got to do this. You know, I need a guy like you to, and you don't have to teach it. I'll be the mouthpiece, but like, I need another dad there for support. And he's like, you know, I just don't know. He wasn't as, you know, developed in his faith or secure, I guess, and confident in being able to leadership. And I said, man, Russell, we got to do this. I said, because like, we're late 40s at this time. You know, I said, it's our turn, right? I mean, like our parents stepped up, our grandparents stepped up, and it's like starting to get real. Like we're moving into that older generation and we're about to be the ones making all the decisions, not only in church, but in government and everything else. So I was just like, man, if we don't do it, who? Yeah. Right? And I think there's just... And then I think COVID came along, and I think a lot of people just started going, okay, what's this all about? What are we doing? And I was sharing with you earlier, like even at my workplace, we had this conversation back in January. What's your why, right? Why do we do what we do? And I just think it's a really cool opportunity, not only for YBL, but for all believers out there, just to be sharing with others and pouring into others because, man, there's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of angst out there, and there's a lot of division with all these cell phones and social media and, you know, it can be used for good, but it can also be a detractor too. And right, you just got to learn to put it down. That's a discipline in itself. But what you guys are doing, boots on the ground, one-on-one or small group relationships. You know, I had a pastor up in Tennessee that used to say, I mean, it was a big church. I mean, I don't remember how many members, but several thousand members, you know, and you're like, and the pastor would go, look, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're coming to church, but don't take this the wrong way. I don't have enough time to really get to know you. But that's where we encourage the small groups because when you have a death in the family or you have a sickness or you have a wedding or whatever it is, you need that support group around you. And I remember hearing that and going, yeah, that's exactly right. And so you guys are doing that. And how many groups, do you know roughly how many groups y'all have meeting?
Yeah, we have approximately 32 small groups right now in the men's side. And then we have, I think, three or four what we call second half groups, which are for guys that are 50 plus, and talk about trying to live out that second half of life faithfully. Like Bob Buford talked about halftime, and so just with that vision of really finishing your life well and seeing that as an opportunity and a season for ministry. And then we have, I think, 17 or 18 women's small groups in Birmingham too, and so just super excited to see those numbers multiplying and flourishing.
Yeah, absolutely. And is that something, is this just a Birmingham greater metro area deal? Or is this, man, where anybody hears the call, we could set them up with a group and get them started?
That's a great question. Yeah, we could, if people would reach out to us, we'd love to facilitate the resources for somebody to start a small group where they are.
Okay.
And, you know, we have the capacity now with the internet and Zoom and everything else to coach and train and equip people wherever they're at.
Yeah, that's another thing COVID did, right? All those teams calls. As a sales guy, I was off the road for 3 months. I mean, we couldn't go. You remember you had to have letters riding around in your car, how silly that was, but just say, hey, I'm an emergency worker. I've got, because I'm in the gas business. So, yeah, I mean, technically we were gas. I mean, emergency people. But during all that, we got through all those. I mean, I think I had four or five Zoom calls, team calls a day, and it really changed that whole dynamic. And matter of fact, I've got my former students, Sam Johnson was a part of, but I've got some of those guys. We about to start it back up, but we have a thing called Operation Impact that we started when they were sixth graders. And now those guys in their mid-20s, and we're doing, you know, it changes every semester, but, you know, we'll pick a Monday night or a Thursday night or whatever night of the week, and we'll just get on those Teams calls if they can make it, and, man, we'll just do life together, and we'll study a book of the Bible, and we'll just talk about it. Sometimes we just get there and talk about life, or we'll pray for one of the guys that's going through something or whatever it may be, but, man, it's just that intentional, that devotion, and that, you know, hey, we're gonna be there for each other. And so I applaud what you guys are doing, and it's an amazing, amazing group. If you're out there and you're looking for something, you're looking for a men's group or a women's group or that second half group, I may be moving into that territory for too long. Man, if you're interested in it, check them out. YBL.org is the website. If you want to email them something, info@YBL.org, they can get you that way too if you want to send them an email, or just check out their site. If you're interested in getting plugged in, check it out. It is really cool. I mean, it's not, you're not signing up for seminary, but it's just a group of men or women or second half people coming together and, man, just trying to do life together, encourage one another, and just spread the gospel and discipleship.
Absolutely.
Love it. It's fantastic. YBL, Young Business Leaders, check them out. Again, website is ybl.org. And if you want to know more, we'd love to get you hooked up with Mr. Rob here, and man, we'll get you guys set up. Going to step aside for just a minute and come back and wrap it up with Mr. Rob Jennan on Sunday morning. Rob, we're promoting this next event. It's coming up on September the 11th here in just a little couple of weeks. Gosh, can we believe we're already the end of August? It's amazing. Alton Hardy of Manifold Vision is going to be speaking at your next event at downtown Birmingham at the Harbert Center on September the 11th from 6:30 in the morning till 7:45. So you can get there, get a good breakfast, get a good word from Mr. Hardy, and man, fellowship with some other guys. And I promise you, it's worth the drive or the commitment to be there. And we can still get you to work in a timely fashion as well. But tell us a little bit more about this event and what we can expect from Mr. Hardy.
Yeah, my pleasure. So the fall breakfast, I mean, this is one of our two biggest events of the year, and it does. It'll bring between usually 200 to 300 businessmen together, and so it's a great community event. It's a time of encouragement. Alton has a particularly poignant message. Just he grew up in the South and experienced all kinds of hardship just from just the community. Just was one of 12 kids, had an absent father, and in spite of everything that he's gone through, he came to Christ as a young man, and he just exhibits a heart of forgiveness and of grace and kindness. And by God's grace, he has become a father not only to his own children, but he's a father to many others in the inner city. And he has been working in Fairfield for the last, I think, maybe 14 or 15 years. They planted a church right across the street from City Hall in Fairfield. They've been just working on discipling young men one at a time and, you know, helping them see a vision for getting married, raising families, living there in the city of Fairfield, and investing in their community by investing just one at a time in discipling other young men. And it's grown to the point now where they're starting to even see some businesses that they've been able to help launch with a meat market and then a furniture store. And I think a couple of laundromats are going in. And that's super, super huge to have any kind of positive economic news. You know, Fairfield, a few years ago, the Walmart left Fairfield, and that was kind of the death knell for Fairfield, a lot of people said. And yet, Alton's love for the people there has become a reason for people to come to the city. And they're little by little linking arms and starting to rebuild a place where there wasn't a lot of hope. And so just his own personal story of living out his faith, discipling these young men, and now he has a vision like what Manifold Vision, his organization, is. The hope there is to take this same model that God is demonstrating works in Fairfield and use it to attack other pockets of poverty around the city and beyond. And so Alton just is personally one of the warmest, most wonderful human beings that I've ever met. He has just a great message of hope and encouragement and reconciliation. And I really think he has something, he's grabbed a hold of something that our whole city needs to hear.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be. I've never met this man, but I'm anxious to go. And if you want to check it out, go on the website, ybl.org. I'm assuming they can see all the information they want.
Yeah, it'd be ybl.org/events. You'll find it right there.
Okay, cool. And you can find out, get signed up. You get tickets. You can sponsor a table. I'm going to be sponsoring a table. I've already got 6 out of my 8 people invited, and I haven't even paid for the table yet, but I got to do that this weekend, but I'll take care of that. But it's a tremendous opportunity just to come alongside. You know, if you're out there and you can hear us and what we're talking about, and you don't have any kind of an inspiration or any kind of a group that you're a part of, man, come on. We'd love to have you, and just check it out and see what it's all about, because I can tell you this is a powerful group, and it's, you know, the only agenda is there is just to pour into other people and right. Just to discipleship. And, you know, I've said for the last couple of years on the show, and, you know, this world is so crazy. And it's just, man, if you want to get knee deep in all the world trouble and all the angst out there, whether it's social media or on the cable news or whatever, you can dig into that. But man, if you want to make a difference, I say this all the time. I can't change this world all by myself. And I wasn't meant to, you know. All I can do is change my world one conversation at a time. And it sounds like Alton's doing that. And man, I can't wait to hear him on September the 11th. This is going to be really cool. So again, if you can hear my voice and want to come, 6:30 a.m. to 7:45 a.m. on September the 11th, downtown at the Harvard Center. Get signed up at ybl.org/events, and it'll take you right there. What else can they find on your website as far as resources and opportunities to get plugged in?
Yeah, I appreciate that because, you know, nowadays with the technology we've got, there are opportunities to engage from anywhere. Right. And so on our website, we've got a number of things. If you look at the tabs, we've got discipleship resources. If you want to start a small group in your area and you're like, but what would I use to even maybe talk about? Like, we want to help equip men to feel like they can facilitate a Bible study where they are. And so you can look at those under the resources. Also under the resources tabs, we have our previous panel discussion interviews or some of our big breakfast events. Like in February, we had Brody Croyle, former Alabama quarterback. We had Shagan Atalana from last fall, who was the first billionaire startup business owner in the history of the state of Alabama, a strong, devout believer. So you can listen to talks and interviews like that on our website under the resources tab. And certainly you get connected with us. We would love to help make it possible for you to have a ministry in your business, in your city, and not to wait. Like, this is something we want to help you do tomorrow if we can.
Yeah. And so, like, the resources side, I'm assuming you guys provide, like, a curriculum or some kind of a lesson to follow, something like that, or is it just suggested? How does that work?
Yeah, that's right. We have developed some specific YBL curriculum. We also just make recommendations. You know, it doesn't have to have our name on it to be useful. There's so many good kingdom resources. But yeah, we certainly do have some things to help you get started.
Okay, cool. Well, hey, if you're interested in that, check them out, ybl.org. It's a fantastic group of young business leaders. And look, when I was at the panel, thanks again for having me be a part of a 3-man panel back earlier this month. Just to come and pour my heart out as to where I've been and what God's done in my life. And it was just cool when that event ended because I had guys from about, you know, late 20s to mid 70s probably coming up and just shaking my hand. It was pretty funny. There was a gentleman there who is married to my kindergarten teacher. And now, look, I'm old, but we did have kindergarten back then. But when he came up and introduced himself, I have not seen him in years. And I haven't seen my teacher in a long time. And he came up and introduced himself. And I said, well, I want to tell you something. I said, I really appreciate you saying hello. I said, your wife was probably my favorite teacher of all times. And he looked at me and said, mine too. So that was pretty cool. But just a good group of men in there. And just everybody was just engaged and just came up afterwards and was just so positive. And just, man, just again, it's that encouragement. It's that pouring in other people. And you could see that discipleship going on in that room. And so I've seen it in the small groups with Sam's office. And then I saw it in the big group. And I'm telling you, if you're looking for something out there, check them out. Young Business Leaders, YBL.org. You can't go wrong. And again, get plugged in. If you're not plugged in, man, plug in. And this is a great opportunity to do so. Rob, we appreciate your time coming in and just so thankful for not only the ministry they're doing, but for you, man. I can see that light in your eye. And when you connected that early on in this conversation, you said, hey, I saw these things that have happened in my life, whether it's my parents' divorce and these miscarriages. And man, but then you realize, hey, this is all coming together because there's a greater platform that God's got for me. So I really appreciate you coming on and just, man, just being vulnerable and sharing your heart with the listeners. And man, God's blessing you. And I'm going to be praying for you guys and that he'll continue to do so. And man, again, just thank you so much for coming in and spending a few minutes with us on Sunday morning.
Shaw, thank you. It's been great to be here with you.
Yeah, right on. Well, look, it's not going to be the last time. We're going to get you back in here because I have a feeling we're going to have some follow-up to do in the next months and years to come. But man, thanks for letting me in and be a part of it. And I look forward to seeing what God does through YBL moving forward.
Awesome. Thanks.
Cool. Thanks, Rob. All right. Check it out, YBL.org. And we'll see you back here next Sunday. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. And remember this, keep on smiling because Jesus loves you and that's reason enough to smile. Happy Sunday, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Mix Sunday Morning Podcast. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix 1065, radio.com, the Radio Alabama app, or Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama.